Father, we do come to you to look to be filled with every good and perfect gift that comes down from heaven, from our Father, the Father of lights. Thank you, God. Be here now as our teacher. Show us the way, Shepherd, and help us to walk in it. For this we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Good. Scripture memorization. It's something we all know we should do. I think we all would like to do it. And I think most of us would agree that we ought to do it more than we do. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's insufficient memory, like the computer says. Or maybe it's insufficient time. But most of us don't memorize as much scripture as we'd like to. Funny thing, though, I've yet to meet a guy who, if he doesn't know any other scripture, he knows Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Every guy knows this verse. What is up with that? It's not written to guys. It's instructions from God to wives. Every man has it memorized. There's a poet. His name is William Cowper. You probably know him best for a line of poetry that he wrote. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. As a new Christian, I was sure that was in the Bible, but it was written by William Cowper. William had this to say about marriage. He said it's the only bliss of paradise that has survived the fall. And it's true. Marriage can be a small foretaste of heaven on earth. Or it can be quite the opposite. Just a little taste of hell. Next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at God's instructions concerning how families work, how marriages work, how our relationships in the world works. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 tonight. Remember, we've been looking at our walk, some of the things Paul has said about our walk. Therefore, brethren, I beseech thee, have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, that we should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk in the futility of our mind, but that we should walk in light, walk in wisdom, walk in love. Paul's getting very practical, very down to earth now. Next 2 weeks, instructions to wives, instructions to husbands, instructions to children, and people who work for a living. We're in Ephesians 5. We're going to cover verses 22, 23, and 24 tonight. Instructions to wives, but I encourage husbands and men not to check out. There's some things in here that will do you good to hear. So let's start. Work our way through this. This first verse, I want to take almost one word at a time, because there's a lot here. Starts out and it says, wives. So right away, one of the things we know is, husbands, you don't need to memorize this. It's not for you. But just check in, stay with us, and listen. We made it through the first first word. The second word gets a little more difficult. Wives, submit. What does that do to the hair on the back of your neck? Here's the way we hear it because of what we have done to the word submit. Wives, submit. If we're honest, that's the way we hear this, isn't it? We've done terrible things to the English language. So let's take a look at what that word submit means. It's a word we get from the military world. To hear it in the Greek, you would understand what it's saying is to arrange yourself in an orderly fashion so that work can be done. That's not so hard, is it? Doesn't quite feel like submit. Not quite as bad as that. Anyone who's ever been in the military would understand this. When they call, Tenut, all the soldiers order themselves because they're about to receive instructions. It is a military term. People in the military submit to authorities. When a private submits to a sergeant, it doesn't mean that the sergeant is a better man than the private. Quite the opposite may be true. It simply means we all have a place to occupy. We all have a job to do. And when the sergeant calls, Tenut, the soldiers fall in. They take their place. That way, instructions can be given. Think about it in terms of your car. Seats 4, 5, 6, 8. How many steering wheels? Comes with one. That's because 8 people all charting a direction would be a disaster. Some cars come with 2 steering wheels. That's the little one on the dashboard for the baby. Let them think they're doing something. But really, you get 1 steering wheel. A platoon gets 1 sergeant. It's so that there's order. It's so that things can get done in an orderly fashion. Work can be accomplished. God is not the author of confusion. He does love order. And so his instruction to the wives is arrange yourself along with your husband in an orderly fashion. That way we can get some things done. One moment, please. Oh, that's good. To help us understand this, I'd like to go back. It always pays to go back to the beginning and look at how God sets things up. Then we get a clearer idea of what his original purpose was. Let me take you back to Genesis chapter 2. Specifically, verse 18. God has created the heavens and the earth. He's created the man. He looks around, sees that everything's good, except for one thing. The man's alone. That's not good. Verse 18. The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. When God created the woman, he created her to be a helper to the man. Okay? Not a hard concept. Let's work our way through it. What does a helper do? A helper helps. This is easy. Think about it this way. A helper's job is to come alongside and assist in the work. make it easier to understand the work, to take part in the work. Without understanding the job, you can't help. Let's say that a carpenter hires a carpenter's helper, or a plumber hires a plumber's helper. That person has to understand what the carpenter is trying to accomplish, has to come alongside and assist in that work. Sometimes a man will turn to his wife and quote Ephesians 5:22 and say, you need to submit. You need to just go along with what I'm saying. Really, what he's asking for is complete acquiescence to his will. How would it work if a carpenter's helper did that? Let's say the helper sees that something's wrong with whatever it is that's being built. Looks at the plans, looks at the construct, says there's a problem here. And down the road, this is going to cause a lot of problems for a lot of people. What's his job? To go to the carpenter, point out the errors, and help him see to do it the right way. If he doesn't do that, he's not helping. A helper's job is to open their mouth and talk. It is to communicate, not to be silent. If a helper were simply to stand by in silence and watch mistakes being made, not only would they not be doing their job, they would be disobeying God, because God has called them to be a helper. And if you're going to help, help. Open your eyes. Understand what's going on. Open your mouth. Say when you see something. Get in there and be a part of the process and help. Give you an example of how it works. When I first began to look at Diane as a potential life partner, as a possible spouse or mate, there were qualifications she had to meet in order for me to continue considering her. Pretty's nice, and I got that. But pretty goes away. Not yet. Not yet. But one day, we all get old. Personality's nice. But on the worst days, personality goes away. And I'm not saying that that's happened. I got it all. The whole enchilada. One of the requirements for me to continue considering her as a partner was that she must have a relationship with God. I wanted to know that my wife talked to God and heard back from him. Without that, no deal. Pretty ain't enough, hon. Sorry. You got it, but it ain't enough. Personality ain't enough. You got that too. But unless a woman hears from God, she is not fit to be a marriage partner. Because how can she help? How can she know what God is doing in that man's life unless God talks to her? One of my fundamental requirements was that she hear from God. Now, my wife hears from God. Think about what that means. When there's a decision to make in our house, I hear from God too. Sometimes I even pray. Ask him what he thinks before I jump in with both feet. But I have found that it's a wise thing to do to ask my wife what she thinks. I think I do that, don't I? Yeah. Never mind, we won't go into that. There was one time. If she hears from God, I want to know what he's saying to her. Why not? God can speak in a multitude of ways. He can talk to me. He can speak through circumstances. He can speak through another person. And if you're married, gentlemen, God speaks to you through your wife. I'll guarantee you. The funny thing is, I've never gotten bad advice from her. Not once have I gotten a piece of bad counsel from my wife, and I've learned to trust her and to listen to what she has to say. That's not the way it works in every marriage. That's not the way it works in my marriage. Sometimes we all fail, fall short of the glory of God. So what's a woman to do if she's in a marriage where a husband doesn't seem to value her input? What do you know? The Bible talks about that very situation. Peter wrote about it in his first letter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Ladies, if you've tried to talk to your husband and the lunkhead won't listen, here's what you do. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God, not in their husbands, they trusted in God, they also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands. As a helper, it's your responsibility to stand alongside your husband, to speak into his life whatever God is sharing with you, to give him that second outlook, another viewpoint. That's what God calls you to as a wife. Your husband won't listen. All right, you've done it. What do you do now? Now, instead of talking it, you live it, that they may be won without a word when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Now, ladies, you have a husband who doesn't obey the word, who won't listen to God. Live God in front of him. Let him see the power and the peace that comes from hearing God's voice and following him. That still, small voice, let them see what it means to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You just might win him for God. If he won't listen to you, now you bring out the big guns. Instead of talking Jesus, you live Jesus. That's where the power is. Think about this. The book of Proverbs shows us this kind of a woman. She's married to a man who gets it. Watch how this works. when two people are cooperating with God in their family, doing it God's way, letting Him bring the blessing in. Take a look at Proverbs 31. Here's the Proverbs 31 woman. Verse 10. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Amen. Oh yeah. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. The first thing to notice is this woman has the confidence of her husband. He trusts her. In what ways? Let me show you just three. Verse 13. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She has authority to spend. If she seeks wool and flax, she's out there in the marketplace buying. She doesn't get an allowance. She doesn't have to account for every penny. He trusts her with the checkbook. She goes out and buys things and makes things that make life better. She takes the raw materials, invests herself and her effort in it, and brings gain to her family. Verse number 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. Once again, she's trusted financially. She takes the money, goes out, finds a good piece of land, plants a vineyard on that land, brings in profit. With the profit, turns around and reinvests it wisely and makes more money. Once again, she's trusted to buy, and she's trusted to run an operation. Verse 20. She extends her hand to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. A third time, she's trusted financially. And this time, she's trusted to give the money away. Her husband trusts her because she hears from God. She's trusted to buy and make things. She's trusted to buy and run and invest. She's trusted to buy and give it away. Her husband trusts her. And because she has shown herself to be trustworthy, verse number 28, her children rise up, call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her with words like these: many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Here's a man who has learned to trust God's work in the life of his wife, and God has blessed him for it. I said this passage was instructions for wives, but guys, listen up. Trust God to work in your wife's life, and you will be blessed. Principles from God's Word. In all things, Christ is always our example. This is a verse that encourages women to submit. But who walked this planet who was more submitted than Jesus? Nobody. Let me take you to John's Gospel, chapter number 8. Here's the words of Jesus. John chapter 8, verse 29. He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please Him. when did Jesus not please the Father? When did Jesus fail to walk in submission to God's will? Didn't happen. Jesus was the most submitted man who ever walked this planet. And I'm here to tell you, nobody was ever his own man as much as Jesus was. Nobody manipulated him. Nobody used him. He walked in the Father's will and not in another man's will. In his submission, he found his completion. And that's what I've found to be true in my life. I have shared with you guys how I came to the Lord in the middle of a divorce. Submission to God's principles was not easy because my flesh was getting mighty stirred up. What I discovered going through that difficult time and coming out the other side was that the way to find yourself, to find who you're supposed to be, the way to become the man or the woman that God has made you to be, is to submit. I could have fought God, and it could have been just plain ugly. But in submitting to God, I began to discover who I was, and I began to change and become a different person than I had been. The Holy Spirit began a work in me. It's not done. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. But here's what I know. He who began a good work in me will be faithful to complete it. I have no doubt about that. I watch God work in my life. I watch him work in your lives. And I see the same thing. As we learn to yield our will to God, he begins to change us. We begin to become the people that God originally designed us to be. The curse of the fall falls away. The glory of God begins to shine through. We are changed, transformed from glory to glory into that same image of the Son of God who always did what pleased his Father. Man, give it up. Quit fighting. Become the person God is trying to make you to be. The only way to win in the kingdom of God is to surrender. Once you give it up, you've won. Sometimes people, women, wives will worry. If I submit to him, what will happen to my life? Because sometimes husbands don't do such a good job of being husbands. True of the best of us. Some don't even care. They don't obey God's word, as Peter said. So where's the safety mechanism in this for the wife? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's the part the husband doesn't memorize. He memorizes, wives, submit to your husbands. But he forgets to stick in the little piece that says, as to the Lord. How is a wife to submit to her husband? The same way she would submit to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How does Jesus lead you, ladies? Give me some adjectives, some words that describe the leading of Jesus Christ in your life. How does he do it? Gently. Lee. You ever known Jesus to be anything but gentle? What else about Jesus? How does he lead you? Loving. What else? Very simple. Easy to do. Wives are to submit to their husbands the same way they would submit to Jesus, and no other way. The submission that a godly man can expect from his wife is not an excuse for abuse of any form. It's not a rationale for tyranny. He does not rule over her like a tyrant. When did Jesus ever ask that from you? Wives, submit to your husbands the same way you would submit to Jesus. God did not give men a rationale, an excuse for poorly treating their wives. If a husband wants a wife to submit, then start leading like Jesus leads, and you will find you have a wife who will follow you like she follows Jesus. You don't get to lead her in ways that Jesus wouldn't lead her and then say submit to that. Ladies, you submit to your husband as you would to the Lord, same way. As long as your husband leads in the things of God, you're free to follow. I don't think God has ever called a single woman to submit to the leadership of a man who would take her away from God. I don't believe that's true. I don't believe you have to submit to that. Let's say Friday night, your husband brings home a movie so that you can watch it, enjoy it together. There is a problem. See, this movie is filled with social commentary, talks about the human condition, gets down to the real nitty-gritty. Sure, it's got some language. Sure, it's got some sex. Yeah, it's got an R rating. But honey, this talks about life. Now let me ask you, if Jesus wanted to watch a movie with you, would he bring home an R-rated movie with sex and language? When that happens, you who are submitting to your husbands are free to continue following Jesus. That's all you were ever called to do. You put your eyes on Jesus. If your husband is in line with this authority structure, God the head, head of the husband, the head of the wife, then you just put your eyes on his back and on the back of Jesus and keep following. When he gets out in left field, let him go. You keep your eyes on Jesus and keep following him. That is godly submission, not blind obedience to what some jerk may say just because he doesn't obey the word of God. Verse 23, we actually made it to the second verse. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. The husband heads the wife, as Christ heads the church. What do we know about Christ? He's the Savior of the body. What does the Savior do? He saves. Easy enough. In order to save, here's what he's got to do. He's got to look at the church and understand it. He's got to know what the great need of the church is. And then the Savior has to meet that need, regardless of the cost. And what did Jesus do? He looked at a church. He looked at a people that were like sheep who had gone astray with no shepherd to lead them. He came. He shared the things of God. He saw the need for someone to die. And he did it. Didn't care for the cost at all. Despising the shame, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. Now, if Christ is head of the church and the husband is head of the wife, the same way that Christ is head of the church, then here's what husbands need to do. Dwell with them with understanding. Get to know the woman that God has given you. Get to understand what God's trying to accomplish in her life. And get behind and help. Identify the need she has. Set aside your own desires and meet her needs, regardless of the cost. That's what a Savior does. That means that for the husband, the wife is the first priority in his life, before himself and what he wants and how he feels. That means just as the church is number one in the eyes of Jesus, so the wife becomes an absolute first priority for the husband. Ladies, let me just ask you, pop quiz real quick. How easy would it be for you to submit to a man like this? Somebody who looked at you and said, "You come first. I want to know you. I want to understand you. I want to get what God is about in your life, and I want to help you get there." Would that man be hard to submit to? See, I don't think it's a one-way street that God calls women to submit to ungodly men in everything they say. But I think these are instructions on how marriage is supposed to be. This is the way a husband should be. This is the way a wife should be. Husbands, do it first. You're the head. Remember that old poem? Defeat of T-Duck went over defense before detail. You're the head. You're the point man. You're the leader. You go first. If anyone is to institute love in the home, it's you. Because you're taking Jesus' place in this home. We love him because he first loved us. You're the leader. Lead. Don't be a thermometer that simply reflects the spiritual temperature of the home. Be a thermostat and set the spiritual temperature. You make sure that the home is a place where God's word is honored and obeyed. You'll find you have given yourself a wife who will gladly submit to your leadership. Verse 24, after all is said and done, here is a bottom line reality. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. There is a time for a wife to talk to a husband. There is a time for a wife to share her insights, what God is saying to her. Let's say you just married one who doesn't obey the word, or he's having a poor week and he's not listening very well. There does come a time to simply arrange yourself in order so that God can get some work done. There does come a time to say, thanks for listening to what I had to say. Now, you've made a decision. We'll follow that decision. There is a time to simply submit, not to ungodly things. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You follow him. The husband gets it wrong. He's in left field. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You keep following him. But there's so many decisions that don't require you to walk away from Jesus. You just disagree with your husband. If your home is going to be a place where God can work, where you can be blessed and happy, if it's going to be a place where work gets done, then there will come a time when you'll have to submit to the leadership that God has instituted. That's why I encourage wives to let husbands lead. Ladies, if you do not let him lead, he will not lead. It's a principle that goes way back to the beginning. I don't know how many times I read the story of the garden and the fall in the book of Genesis and missed this point. I always saw it this way. Satan is out slithering around, waiting for his chance. Adam's off picking apples or something, I don't know what. The serpent slithers in and gets Eve alone and takes her and twists her to his will. Didn't happen that way. Because he got Eve to doubt God's word. He got Eve to disobey God's word. And when she did, she gave to her husband who was with her. Where was Adam? He was right there. Why wasn't he doing his job? Tell it, sister. Well, he's going to have to take responsibility for that. But let me say this. Eve took the lead, and he gave it up. Ever since that time, men have been willing to give up leadership. Let's face it, it's a lot of work, isn't it? Being a leader. Men are more than happy to let women lead. Go over to kids' church. Tell me how many women are leading and teaching, and how many men are over there. Men love to give up leadership because it makes life more comfortable. But if you take it, he will gladly give it up. You want your husband to be a leader, then encourage him. Good for the goose, good for the gander. Get to understand what God is doing in his life. Get behind him and help. If he so much as utters three words of blessing over the meal, encourage that. Tell him how much you love it when he prays. What does Jesus do? He wouldn't quench smoking flax, but would fan it and encourage it into a flame. Encourage your husband. If he's the one that gets up in the morning and gets the kids ready for church, says, honey, let's go worship today. Tell him how much that means to you. How much you love it when he takes the spiritual leadership, becomes the man God wants him to be. If you don't encourage him, guys live for encouragement. We really do. We're babies that way. Pat us on the back. Tell us how good we're doing. And we'll go all 9 yards. Encourage your husband to lead. Three takeaways I want you to walk out with from these three verses. First thing to walk out with tonight. How many instructions does the wife receive? One, God knows you. women tend, it's not a complete thing, it's a generality. Women tend to be better at relationships than men. We get together, we find a ball, we fight over it. Women get together, they have a tea party, they talk. They tend to be better at relationships than we are. What's marriage other than a relationship? How hard it must be for women to submit to men who just aren't as skilled at talking, communicating, relationships as they are. Women tend to be sometimes more tuned into the details. I think that's why they do so well in the business world, why they're filling the seats in colleges. They tend to be good at these things. How hard it must be for a woman with a sharp mind to submit to a man who's just kind of, duh, he's a guy. God knew what would be hard for you. So he says, let's keep it simple. Do this one thing. Just submit to him. Takeaway point number two. When you do learn about submission, you're on the road to becoming yourself. The person God sees you right now as being and wants to transform you to become. When you submit, you are going to become who you're supposed to be. Principle in God's word won't fail you. Point number three. When you submit, you learn to trust. That passage from Peter talked about women who trusted God, not their husbands. They trusted the God their husband was following. They trusted that that God would be so great and so powerful and so capable that he would even be able to work in their husband's life. It's a process of learning to trust that God can even work through a man. Believe it or not, it can be done. Submission is a hard concept for us today because of what we have done to the Word. But I hope you've seen that there's more to this than our society offers us. There's being a helper. There's participating. There's being a partner. There's communicating. There's being trusted with finances, with planning, with work. There's being praised for being, for excelling all the daughters of men. That's why I said, guys, don't check out. There's some things in here it will do you good to hear. Now, next week, it's the guy's turn. Instructions to husbands. The wives got 3 verses. You get 9. Ladies, don't check out. There's some things that'll do you good to hear next week. God knows what he's about. When you invite him into your life, when you listen and do it his way, that's where the blessings are found. If it were anybody else but God, I wouldn't suggest that to you. But you can trust him. He who began a good work will be faithful to complete it. You can trust him. Father, we are before you tonight, confessing how poorly we do at these things. We have your word before us, plain and simple. We have your spirit in our hearts, and yet so often we fail to do the simple things you call us to do. We confess this to you now, freely. We look to you now, expectantly, and say, help us, God. Help us to listen to your voice. Help us to trust that what you're saying is not only true, but it's the road into every blessing. Help us to become the men and women you are trying to make us to be. We want to follow. We want to learn to obey you. We want every good and perfect gift you have for your church. So help us now, God, to be godly wives, godly husbands, to have a walk worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Help us, we believe that you do. Receive this thing now in Jesus' name into our lives.